This is the Fantasy Road Show.
We are live.
We are live.
We are live.
Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Road Show. This episode is brought to you by Rule One Proteins. If you guys don't know, you probably should know by now, Rule One's the best in the business. They got the best protein powder, the best supplements, the best vitamins. You name it, they got it. Go check them out at www.ruleoneproteins.com. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel. Go check us out on social media at Fantasy Roadshow everywhere you can. Check out the Substack, thefantasyroadshow.substack.com for all of our fantasy articles written by Shane. He does some great work over there, so go check it out. You guys know the drill. My name is Truck, and I'm joined as always by Culls and Shane O'Mac. And today we are talking NFC South divisional breakdown, second episode in the series. I'm excited to talk about this division. But before we get into that, boys, how are we doing? Culls, how's your day going?
It's all good. In the middle of a move, moving to close to the old Barton Springs, one of my favorite parts of Austin / the United States. So I'm excited. Okay. I got my camo Tigers headband.
Go Tigers.
Just wanna say that the Fantasy Road Show supports the military.
We support our troops.
We support the troops. Shannon Mack, what's up with the Oregon Duck John Deere look today?
You like that? Yeah. Like a little Phil Knight, you know, sponsorship going on.
Yep.
So. Yep. Oh, that is funny.
Bringing Phil Knight's sponsors, his Nike sponsorship down to the tennis world in Wichita, Kansas.
Yep. Yeah. I woke up at 6 today, got a workout in, and then I did couple hours of tennis. So
what I'm type set. Of workout?
So this was woke up at 6, 45 minutes on the elliptical, get the legs loose and everything, and then 2 hours of tennis playing.
Okay,
nice. So I have a confession to make. I thought you said Bill Nye, and now I kind of want to see you now I kind of want to see you do a Bill Nye parody.
The Bill Nye
Bill, Bill. Yeah, that's funny. Today we are talking divisional breakdown, but before we do that, let's talk about some news. We just got some guys got paid, right? Jordan Love is the new highest paid quarterback in the history. Right before him, it was Tua, and he is now the fourth highest paid quarterback in history. And Shane, I'm curious on your thoughts here, because I'm a Bears fan and I don't want to sound biased at all. But I'm curious, do you think did Jordan Love deserve right now to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL?
For that team, that organization, yes, I would have done it, because they have nobody else on that team that they are paying or going to have to pay right away. I mean, even Jacobs is not that expensive. They can get out after 1 year if they want. And Love, I think we talked about it on one of the shows recently where – the eye test, like that twitchy athletic ability. And you just got to kind of push aside the first half of the season where he's getting used to a whole new set of offensive weapons and teams. And once they found their groove as a team, that's when, you know, he started to take off. So
and
I think
he won a playoff game.
Yeah. He won a playoff game on the road that they were probably not favored by. I mean, they were probably underdogs by 6, maybe, if I remember.
Yeah, probably.
So. I think it was 6.5.
Yeah.
Who was that against?
Jordan Love.
Yeah. Who was that?
Who they beat?
I don't remember.
Oh, you don't remember?
That's so long ago.
Maybe the Cowboys over there.
That doesn't seem right.
No.
Green Bay beating Dallas in a playoff game.
Yeah. And, right. Yeah. It's just
LaFleur opting to receive, march down the field, score a touchdown. A little bit of anxiety in the building.
Aaron Jones, 3 rushing touchdowns.
Proceed to just wipe the floor with them. I Truck texted me that exact thing when that happened. Does he deserve to be that? And I was like, yeah, for sure. You have to. He's the next, you know, dynasty quarterback for the Packers on a young team. You're going to pay him. He's not going to be the highest paid quarterback forever. That'll change soon. So
yeah, yeah. And shout out to David Mulugeta. Dave, this guy is just continues to just get his players paid like heavily. He's the guy that for Deshaun Watson had the historic $230 million fully guaranteed. He's got a long list. He is considered the best agent in the NFL, and he just continues to work magic for contracts and getting his guys paid. So shout out to him.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Anything else come in the news that you guys noticed over the last day or so that you wanted to mention?
I like the Ray Davis hype. A lot of Ray Davis hype, but news wise, no.
Just basic training camp, hype. We could do a training camp hype train session in another episode once we gather all the stuff. But yeah, it's training camp has started and hype is going around. So don't look too much into it. But today we are talking NFC South breakdown, and here we go. We are getting into it. Let me. I think I messed up there. There he is.
Hey, here we go.
All right, so we're talking Falcons first. Talking the Atlanta Falcons. They bring in Kirk Cousins. You have incredible athletic playmaking young talent on the team. You got Bijan Robinson. We got Drake London, Kyle Pitts. So much hype is going into the Falcons this season. I'm buying into it. I really, really like the Falcons this year. I think they're kind of set up for a very, very successful season. However, I'm not as big as Coles is as on the Falcons. So why don't you give a quick breakdown on the narrative around the Falcons, Mike?
I just think that they got the perfect fit for how they need, what they need for all those guys to break out. I think Bijan's probably the most athletic running back. Drake London is a top five pure talent receiver in the NFL. And then Pitts is number one in terms of athleticism from the tight end position. So they just need someone that can get the ball in their hands to facilitate. And I think that's what you're going to see. I don't really understand how Kirk is QB18, I guess, coming off injury in a new situation, but he's never had these types of weapons before. He's had JJ. But in terms of pure athleticism from every position, he's got probably the top guy. So I think it's going to be a very explosive offense. Their defense is good enough in a really bad division. So I think once you start beating up on your entire division, I have them losing to some of the better teams in the league at Eagles, Chiefs, probably split with the Bucks, but other than that, you win every single divisional game. So if you're 5-1 in the division, you play the Seahawks non-con, or I guess that's college. You play the Seahawks out of your division. Oh, Cowboy team at home that I think will be softer than they were last year. On the road to the Broncos, you're not really Chargers. That schedule's to me pretty cake. Mm-hmm. All across the board. So between a breakout of your offense, when it's just getting the ball into playmakers' hands, it's not like there's going to be this huge learning curve. It's simple. It's let's learn the offense, the playbook, let's instill it, and then just building momentum throughout the year. So I don't know that there's going to be this huge Kirk Cousins has to get used to his new weapons type of learning curve that you expect. It's just let's take care of business and mow down this easy schedule, which I think they'll do. And they'll be one of the top teams in the NFC. And then it comes down to are we able to beat some of the best teams in the NFL, which I think they'll probably fall short of this year. But yeah, their team's great.
Shane, what do you got here? Me and you both are accurate, or not accurate, in the same page with 10-7.
He's wrong. We're right. accurate.
We are accurate.
Quick comment. I really like the Falcons, and looking at the schedule, I wanted to add a couple extra wins. It was just hard for me to find those spots. So Shane, We both have the same record here. Talk to me about your schedule breakdown and what you saw there.
So real quick, because one of my favorite sayings on this show in the past year is when I was called the most aware on the show. And so now this may be up there as my second favorite moment of going forward. So we are accurate.
Yeah. Well, I was not, I'm glad you continued to build on that, because I'm not done with how that word came into your brain in that sentence.
Yeah, I don't have an explanation.
That's the one that's going to stay in my memory bank now for the rest of the year.
I was just fully not expecting that. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't even want to like try to justify for you. I am going to, because I'm just such a nice friend, Truck. You guys are the closest to the win total that Vegas has of 9.5. So if you're defining accuracy by being close to Vegas's win total, then yes, you guys are the most accurate. However, that's maybe not where we were going with that, but that's my defense for Truck.
A couple things though, like 13-4, if that were to happen, like you could be looking at the number one seed in the NFC.
Yeah, I think it'll be close.
That's right there, I would think. But, you know, I like that, you know, a couple things. So they've got a rookie head coach, but they brought over a very experienced offensive coordinator in Zach Robinson, who, when he was with the Rams, was very creative and used Todd Gurley in a very creative way, rushing and receiving. So that's part of why I'm much higher. I'm still high on Bijan Robinson this year. I'm not lowering him. I'm probably taking him even higher in the top five overall. But the thing I like also is two things. Like, I like their offensive line. I think it's ranked fifth heading into this year. They were good last year. They returned all five of their starters. And then let's just say, though, in the middle of the season, Kirk Cousins does get hurt or something bad happens with his injury again or something. I feel much more confident in Michael Penix coming in and keeping that team afloat to win the division, given all of the weapons around him and given such a high experience level he has coming in as a rookie.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You know, a lot of people said he was NFL ready. So sitting behind Kirk Cousins for a half a year, if that was to happen, I think they'd be in a pretty good spot with him. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're fully capable of achieving what Mike has laid out on the table there with 13-4. I think they're very much capable of doing it.
Yeah, so. I'm looking up divisional wins, because I think like 5-1, I would almost lock them in for that. Yeah, so you can get over 3.5 divisional wins for -120 for the Falcons.
I like that.
That's an absolute smash max.
Can you make note of that when we do our futures and that? Yeah, that I was one right say there
like
is
4-2. I'd be extremely confident in, just because like split Bucks, and then like I as you'll see, I have the Saints at 3-14. I just think they have the worst coach in the NFL, and I think that they don't really have anything in my mind. Like, I don't look at anything on the Saints anymore, and I'm like, they have the best
blank
secondary in the division. Yeah. Like, they maybe once had some serious strengths, and maybe I'm just overlooking them. To me, they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. Sorry if you're listening to this, any of my LSU friends, but first Panthers at Cowboys versus Eagles at Falcons at Chiefs. I spaced out a little bit. That was kind of a burp. Sorry. I spaced out a little bit there when Shane was talking, because I found this DraftKings bet that they have. It's called Drive for Week 5. And it is wins after 5 regular season games. And I was like, oh man, I know I have the Saints basically, losing their first 6 games. So you can get that at zero wins for plus 800, 8-1 odds. Ooh. And if I'm looking at this schedule and you're at Cowboys, at Falcons, at Chiefs, and then versus Eagles, you're kind of getting this opening game at home, sure, against the Panthers, sure, like should be a rocking building. But you're, in my mind, you're basically getting like 8-1 odds on that game. I would feel very comfortable if they come out 0-1 that they're going to lose these four. Yeah. In fact, we all have them losing those four. So essentially, I look at that as getting the Saints, getting the Panthers at plus 800 on that game. I'll probably be on that, probably be sprinkle a little bit on that as well.
Okay. Well, before we dive too much into the Saints, let's finish up with the Falcons and start talking about their fantasy relevant players. We got Kirk Cousins, quarterback 18 in round 12. To me, I think Mike and I had talked about it briefly before, but Kirk Cousins at quarterback 18, I feel like he shouldn't be that low. Maybe it is because of him coming off of that injury. But when he plays a fully healthy season, he throws for 4,000 yards, and he is right around quarterback 10. So, you know, I'm fine taking Kirk Cousins later on in drafts in round 12 as either a QB2. I'm not too confident in him as my quarterback 1, but Shane, what do you think?
Yeah, I think with those weapons, let's not forget, like, through the first 8 weeks before he got hurt, like, he led the league in passing touchdowns. He was first or second in passing yards. And he's got, I think, a better overall set of weapons here in Atlanta. So, yeah, I don't understand. That is really, really low. You're talking about, I'm trying to think who some of the guys that, yeah, they'd have ahead of him, but I mean, that seems,
I'll pull it up right now,
pretty egregious. That, I mean, that if, for example, let me lay out a scenario. If I take Jaden Daniels as my QB1, Kirk Cousins will be a heavy target of mine, someone that's got a nice high floor to pair with him.
All the quarterbacks above him: Justin Herbert, Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence, Jared Goff, Tua, Jaden Daniels, Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, Kyler Murray, and then that approaches that top 10 range.
So he's like the perfect guy to pair with like a Jaden Daniels in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Or even like if I got stuck with Jared Goff, like I'll take Kirk Cousins too, and kind of switch off between the two of them based on matchups. But Mike, what do you think? Are you drafting Kirk Cousins in round 12?
Yeah. Maybe. I obviously just spoke extremely highly of them. Yeah, if like there's value there and that's how the draft unfolds, I'm typically Josh Allen. I'll have a ton of Caleb Williams. Kirk Cousins might just be in a little bit of a dead zone for me.
Yeah.
Just like because I typically don't draft more than one quarterback in redraft, I don't think. This year I might grab like a late Bryce Young or Daniel Jones. But like, I'm not against it. I think he's going to have a good year. I don't know the way that I look at quarterbacks in redraft in the past, at least, is like getting elite one. I pretty much always have Josh Allen. So at that point, you're not really getting a backup. Right.
Yeah.
But as Shane mentioned, like having him in that Jaden Daniels spot, that would be a great spot. Typically he goes before Caleb. So like maybe as a safe option behind Caleb. Yeah. I think he has a great year. As I mentioned, he's in like a dead zone for me. Almost like those Evan Ingram, Jake Ferguson. I like those guys, but you probably won't see him on any of my teams. Mm-hmm. We lost Truck.
There
he is. Yeah, so he's just – I feel like he's kind of in a dead zone for me. Like, I just typically have quarterbacks set at that point, and I – yeah, but
I do think if he plays a fully healthy season, he's going to return value on his draft position.
Why do we assume that he's going to get hurt?
I think people are just, there's, they think there's risk involved with him coming back. He's how old he is. He's what, 36?
36, I believe. Yep.
30. Yeah. I mean, fantasy.
He's not going to be taking a bunch of hits unless this line is just horrible, because they're going to be getting the ball out fast.
Shane said, didn't you say they're great line. Five right now?
Yeah. Yeah. They return all their starters. They were third in the league in pass blocking last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's not.
And then you have a really strong run game with Bijan Robinson, who we'll talk about next. He's being drafted as RB2. He's my RB1. Micah, he's your RB1. Shane, where do you have him?
He was one or two. I have to look.
Yeah, to me, he's a smash pick in the first round.
He's my RB1 also.
Consensus. We're all unanimous then. He is our RB1 going into the season. Yep. Taking him early, probably after those four wide receivers, four or five, however you want to put it. But he's right in that, six overall spot in drafts for me.
It depends your league. Like, he could be the 101 in a two wide receiver league for me.
Absolutely.
He's probably, if you can start four wide and it's a PPR, he's probably my fourth off the board. I'd go Chase, Lamb, Garrett Wilson, and then probably Bijan. But that's a wide receiver heavy league, and he's 104. So most leagues, if they're not that wide receiver heavy, I'm thinking about him after Jamar Chase. So, yeah, I couldn't be higher on Bijan. I think they're going to unleash his full potential, which is, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, and to me, Tyler Algier is not even in consideration, basically going undrafted, in my opinion. Not much conversation there. And then Drake London being as drafted as wide receiver 11 in the second round. I am all on that. Drake London, I have him in my firmly inside my top 10. I believe he's my wide receiver 6 or 7, I believe.
Yeah, he's inside my type. He's inside my top 10 also.
Look at my phone. I think I have him as wide receiver 7, but I'll have to check.
I do have him as wide receiver 7. So, yeah, I'm fine taking him in the back end of the first, as I've done in a couple of our mock drafts that we do on the channel. If you haven't checked those out, go check them out. But, yeah, I can't draft enough Drake London. And a lot of people say that's a hype pick, but I just think looking at he was a top 10 draft pick coming in with Kirk Cousins, who we saw what Kirk Cousins was able to do with Justin Jefferson. Am I saying Drake London is as good as Justin Jefferson this year? Not exactly, but I'm expecting that type of production. He's going to be heavily targeted. He's very, very athletic, so he's going to make these incredible catches. And I think he's going to end up as a top 10 wide receiver when it's all said and done.
Yep, I agree. I have I'm targeting him for sure in leagues, especially if he falls in that second round. He'll be if I'm on the back end of a draft and he falls in the second round, he's my pick. London, Saquon, Davante Adams is like the order that I'm targeting in the second round. So he's on that list.
What I love in the back end of the first and early second is kind of pairing up like a Harrison Jr. with London. Like that pairing of the rookie who I do think is going to be great. And then I think, the veteran who's about ready to explode to the upper echelon.
Yeah. In terms of breakout players, like he's on the top of my list, Drake London. Yep. Like he's poised for a breakout. Everything is pointing in that direction. So, but I find it interesting. Darnell Mooney is wide receiver 71 in round 15. We're so high on the Falcons. We saw what a wide receiver 2 looks like with Kirk Cousins. Jordan Addison last year was great. Was catching touchdowns. Darnell Mooney coming from the Bears, he's a talented wide receiver, and he can get the job done. So I think wide receiver 71 is too low for him, and he's someone I'd be willing to draft in the last round or something as a flyer, because I do think he's going to produce. I think he's going to have games where is starter worthy in a flex. So I don't know. What do you guys think about Darnell Mooney?
Yeah, he seems to be almost like forgotten about, right? Like, I mean, you see people taking like wide receiver 3s on teams or 4s even ahead of him in drafts. And like, let's not forget, I mean, he has put up 1,000 yards in a season before, and that was in Chicago. And like you've seen, we've seen Kirk Cousins produce two top 24 wide receivers. I think it was two different years he did it. And while I don't expect Mooney to be a top 24, but if he's like a top 40, he's still going to smash his ADP, or top 36. You know, he's going to smash this ADP.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a value at that, where he's getting drafted. So I'm looking at him. I think he's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. And then Kyle Pitts, he's one of my favorite tight end draft picks in the fifth round. Always targeting Dalton Kincaid in the fourth, but if I miss out on Kincaid, I am like hyper targeting Pitts in the fifth. I love the way my teams look after a draft when I go early wide receiver, you know, a hero RB, and then end up with Kyle Pitts in round five. I couldn't be happier with the way that my team looks after that. So Kyle Pitts, we've seen him have a 1,000-yard season as a tight end. We know that coming into the league, he was considered one of the most athletic candidates coming out of college. And, you know, he just hasn't gotten a good shake. I think Kirk Cousins loves throwing to his tight end. And Kyle Pitts is another one of those guys that are on the top of my breakout list. I can't draft enough Drake and Kyle Pitts. It's just –
Well, definitely. And let's not forget, like, when he did do that, 1,000 yards in a season, that was his rookie year. Like, there's only been one other tight end in NFL history to do that. So, I mean,
yeah,
that shows his ability to do it as a rookie.
Yeah, I think he's my tight end too. So, obviously, if it's not Kincaid, it's Pitts for me as well. I have spoke highly about everyone on the Falcons, and I'll continue to do so. I think they're going to have an outstanding year. They're going to be one of the more fun fantasy teams to watch. So I'll be looking for all of these guys on all my teams.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that's enough about the Falcons. Let's move on down to the Buccaneers.
Can we do a TV timeout like we did the other day?
Yeah. Let's take a quick commercial break.
I'll be back.
And we're back. So, like I said, let's transition to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you could scroll down there, Mike.
The Buckies.
There we go. Yeah, what? Go ahead.
I asked during the commercial break, I asked Shane O'Mac and Truck how many days there were till NFL football. 39 is what we said.
39 days.
The reason I ask is because I wanted to bring up a hypothetical for Shane O'Mac. If it was Sunday morning right now, we were about to watch football, would you? Mm-hmm. So in order to jump to football right now, today,
mm-hmm.
would you give up sex for 39 days?
For 39 days? And I just, it's just starting it today.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like, no. This football's still going to happen. Like, if you're saying like, okay, it's like football's not going to happen
ever again.
I can hold out for 39 days for football to come. I cannot hold out 39 days, not come.
Yeah. Okay.
Funny word choice there. And then we have, I think actually, when this episode comes out, there will probably be 34 days left until football.
Yeah.
And I believe this episode is releasing on the day of the Hall of Fame game where the Bears take on the Texans. So if you're watching this,
is not a lot of days. Like,
No,
Shane, I would agree with you with that same answer, because I like as much as I want football to start now, these next 39 days of just like news, drafts, like analysis, this is to me some of the most fun. Obviously being able to see and watch is what it's all about, but I love the
anticipation, the build up, the grind
and the preparation.
This is the fantasy foreplay.
Yeah.
Right. That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
And plus, like, the season, I mean, it seems like it goes by so fast, right? Like, 17 weeks, just 17
Sundays. You blink and it's week 7. You're like, wait, what the hell is going on? So anyway,
like that's because every week I'm like Thursday. Thursday is all I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
Once Thursday comes, I can watch football again. And then Friday, you know, whatever. Friday, just you're getting ready for Saturday, looking at college football games, and then Sunday's here, and it's like, all right, Monday. You know, it's most of the week.
It is.
There's only a couple days where you're like, all right, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm just
itching Friday
for Thursday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Friday's in it though. Like, so Friday's just a part of it in my mind. Like, yeah, there's not a game necessarily or like a huge game.
Week
on,
one but this year, there's a game Friday night.
Oh.
I believe it's that Eagles game that's in like Brazil, I think.
The Brazil game. Oh, you're right. Yes. Yeah, no, you're right. That is a Friday game.
Wow. Yeah. Anyways, that was our little segment.
Yeah. Anybody listening, if you have a different opinion on that, comment. Make the comment in the comment section that you would do that trade.
Yeah.
Because right now, I think the show consensus is no.
Yeah. Because we got these 39 days to grind. It's fun. We're all in the same kind of range here. We're all accurate, as Truck would say, on the Bucks. Let's see what their win total is here in Vegas. But I'm at the 8-9 mark. Truck is as well. Shane O'Mac 7-10. So we're all expecting kind of a down year for them, right? What was their 10?
They went 9-8 last year and they won the division.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Their win total this year is, sorry, Chase Brown continues to take the majority of reps at running back.
Mm.
Is Moss hurt right now or something?
Not that I know of.
7.5 is the win total for the Bucks right now.
For the Bucks,
right,
okay.
There. We are right there on it.
Yep. I don't really know. My little like overview right now of how I look at the Bucks season is, I thought they overperformed last year expectations, and I just don't expect them to do that again. I know I like a couple of these guys that have a good year. Like I like Godwin being drafted as the wide receiver 37. I'm probably going to see a fair amount of Godwin on my teams. Evans, I'm kind of a fade on him this year because I like Malik Nabers, I like DJ Moore, those types of guys more than Evans. Always like Rashad White. What was he, top 10 last year?
And I believe so.
Drafted outside of that. So, you know, I think he has a comparable year to last year. But as a whole, I just think this team, we know what we're going to get out of them, and I just think it's going to be the same exact product, just maybe a little bit less.
Yeah, I think the little bit less for me comes from the loss of Dave Canales, you know, running that team and running that offense. I think he kind of added a lot. I mean, you saw what he did with Geno. You saw what Baker had his best year ever last year across the board when you look at all of his stats and metrics. And so why they did bring, you know, they're bringing in an offensive coordinator that was at Kentucky, I believe, from last year. So that's the main difference for me.
Yeah, and I mean, they kind of have a decently tough schedule, you know, at Lions versus Eagles, Ravens, Falcons, Chiefs, 49ers. Like, that stretch of games right there, too. Like, it's a tough schedule. And mm-hmm. I think they're a decent team. That's why I have them just right around that 500 mark. I don't think much changes from last year. Like, I think they're going to – they are one of the teams that wins games they shouldn't win. And any given week, they have a chance of winning. And I think this is kind of right where they're going to end up, is right around that 8-9. You know, maybe they win an extra game and go 9-8 like they did last year. But I definitely don't think they win the division.
Yeah. I'm not going to have a ton to talk about here with the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Really, this division as a whole, just because I think this is the worst division in football. So, yeah, I'm drafting Godwin. I'm drafting Rashad White. and that's probably about it. Cade Otton may be late in best ball, but not. I'm not looking at him in a redraft league at all. So,
Well, you know, someone we'll just talk about Baker Mayfield first, getting drafted as quarterback 21 in round 13. He's someone I'd be willing to take at that draft position. Being drafted outside the top 20, he finished as the quarterback 10 last year, threw for over 4,000 yards. Now, the quarterback 10 finished. Obviously, we had a historic amount of quarterbacks getting injured last year, so that's going to play into him being a top 10 quarterback. But still, being able to throw for 4,000 yards, to me, is kind of a mark that I wasn't expecting for Baker on the Bucs last year. And I'd be interested in taking him as a QB2, in my opinion. Shane, what do you think about Baker?
Yeah, that's the ones I kind of struggle with when we were just talking about it. Is if you're looking for a QB2, is, you know, that is how do you evaluate who you're taking between Baker versus Cousins?
Yeah,
they're so similar to me right now. I mean, he did have, I think it was 8 or 9 top 12 finishes last year. So I mean, he really outperformed. He gets everybody back, plus, you know, they added Jalen McMillan in the draft, who I like a lot of. They had Graham Barton. They drafted in the first round, which is stud offensive lineman from Duke that they can move around. Mm-hmm. So they didn't lose anything on the offense. It's just how much do you value the loss of Canales as a play caller?
Yeah, very true. Very true. And then Rashad White being drafted as RB13. Mike spoke on it. Outside of the top 10, he's one of those guys that I think is a fringe top 10 guy. I have him inside my top 10. I think he deserves to be drafted there. I'm willing to take him in round 4, especially if I go 3 wide receivers in the first 3 rounds. Having Rashad White as my RB1, totally fine with. He's kind of like right on that bottom. There's kind of a tier break after him as far as running back ones go. So I do like him. And then Bucky Irving, I'm not big on Bucky this year, RB59 and round 16. Like, I'm not even wasting a last round pick on him in drafts. I don't think, you know, Rashad White is the passing down back, so it's not like Bucky's going to come in and catch a bunch of balls. Rashad White had over 60 receptions last year. So I'm not too big on Bucky, but I give me all the Rashad White on my teams.
Yeah, the guy, the choice kind of I struggle with when I've seen, you know, a lot of mocks right now is White versus Jacobs and that same kind of rounds where they're going. That's the one that I kind of struggle with right now.
Where do you lean?
I've got Jacobs one spot ahead of him, but I don't know. I may be switching those rankings because I don't know if this year is going to be much different. I think White's still going to have a lot of those dump off passes from Baker, right? I don't think that's going away.
No, definitely not. And I also like the backup running back. Marshawn Lloyd, to me, in the shadows of Josh Jacobs, means so much more than Bucky Irving behind Rashad White. You know what I mean? Marshawn Lloyd is going to eat into that timeshare, I think. So, and I don't think Bucky is going to very much, but. And then wide receivers, Mike Evans. Mike said he's fading him. I am not. I'm drafting Mike Evans. He ended up as wide receiver 7 last year in PPR formats, over 1,250 yards, 13 touchdowns. The guy is an animal in the red zone, clearly has a good connection with Baker. I don't think much changes this year. Maybe his touchdown mark comes down, but I think he's a lock to have over 1,000 yards like he has every single season in the NFL. So I'm totally fine drafting Mike Evans in the 3rd round. Shane, what do you think?
So Evans, you know what Mike Evans is to me? Mike Evans is my Austin Eckler, where like each year I'm waiting for the downfall to hit. And this, and I'm like, okay, well, he proved me wrong. But then last year, everyone was finally correct on Austin Eckler. And I just, it's the same thing this year. I'm like, is this the year where we're finally kind of be right on Mike Evans? But I'm similar to Coles. Like, for me, it's just more, I like Malik Nabers in round 3 over him, DJ Moore. I just like some of the other guys' upside youth over Evans for me in drafts.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see that fall off from Evans just because I think he's a physical freak. Like, he's not an Eckler. Eckler's a small running back, you know, and Evans is a generational talent at wide receiver. So, like, The only thing I think he'll retire a Buck at this point, but like I could see him just being like that Keenan Allen like mentor slash still have a role, but just not be wide receiver one anymore. Evans, he's gonna have a good year. And Truck, you're saying like you're drafting him, but I would actually guarantee that you don't draft him on any of your teams this year because you're so high on DJ Moore, and DJ Moore is being drafted behind Evans. So that's why I'm saying he's like, he's a fade. Like, I know you're targeting him, but I just would guarantee he's not on your teams because
DJ Moore, I get what you're
unless
saying.
Unless it's a Chicago league and people are steaming someone like DJ Moore and then you're sitting there with them. But like,
yeah, what I meant by that when I'm drafting him in round three is if DJ Moore's gone in certain situations, I am totally okay with drafting him at his ADP in round three. I think Mike Evans, he's someone, depending on where the draft falls, of course, every draft is going to be different, but he's someone I'm not overlooking at his ADP.
And you do have Evans over Moore in your rankings.
Oh, really? I thought you were like really high on Moore. So maybe I read your rankings wrong.
Evans I think I've been high on Evans.
Evans over Moore and Adams for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I like what he does in the red zone. He scores touchdowns, 13 touchdowns last year. It's just I don't think much changes. I think Baker's going to be looking to get him the ball all the time, and I want Evans on my teams.
So the one we were talking about, the one thing we talked about is like, is there any camp news? I did remember this. I was reading yesterday. So, yeah, they are going to move Chris Godwin back into the slot exclusively, they said. Right. And I can't remember. I'm going to pull a Coles here. I don't remember the exact stat, but his fantasy points per game were like, I want to say a half point more per game, fantasy points per game when he was out of the slot versus not in the slot position. So sounds like he's going to be exclusively there. So that's another guy is just kind of forgotten about, it seems like, you know. You know, when you get to that round eight range in PPR leagues, that could be a kind of sneaky value.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, he had over 1,000 yards last year, and we expect him to take a step up playing out of the slot. So, yeah, at wide receiver 37, round seven, I'm taking that. I'm taking that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny because, like, I'm the lowest on Evans according to our rankings. And I just have them behind like Mari Cooper, those kind of guys, DK Metcalf. And then Godwin is someone that like I don't have. What is he, 37? So I have him at 32, right around his ADP, a little bit higher. It's like the way that I view this team is kind of how I've talked about it. Like they're probably – their ADPs are all probably pretty sharp because we know what the offense was last year and it's going to be pretty much just running that back. So like your ADPs will be sharper on a team like this than they will be on the Falcons, where we think they're going to have an outstanding year, but it's more speculation, not as much like product that we've already seen on the field.
Yeah. All right, and then, yeah, Kate Otten, you talked about it. I don't think we really need to go in depth there. We can move on to the Saints if you guys are good with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's just start with what's the Vegas – what does Vegas say about the Saints win totals this year?
I'm going to guess. Can I get a guess before you say it?
Let's take a guess, Shane.
I'm going to say – I think more of them, and I'm going to say it's seven.
Seven and a half?
Yeah, seven and a half, seven, seven and a half.
Seven and a half.
Yep. Oh, look at that. On the money, Shane. Nice job.
Yeah.
I think the coach, Dennis Allen, is the worst coach in the NFL. I think.
You have 6-11 here, Shane O'Mac?
That's my. I'm on the right. Shane's on the left.
You're the Panthers. You're in the middle. You're the Panthers.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm the Panthers. Yeah. Yeah. My spelling, I type a little too fast, I guess. But
yeah, I got
fast. That's what it is. He's too fast. He's too
Do you
fast.
Think I honestly misspelled he's the Panthers too, as the Panthers?
And just too good at typing.
Yeah. Okay, Mike. You got me. Yeah, I have met 6-11. I think this is where they're going to end up. I think they're going to be under that Vegas line at 7.5, and I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt here. I think the Saints. are a team that can fight and win games that they shouldn't win. And my Buccaneers, as we're Canners. Fixing those, yeah. Yeah, that one was a spelling. That was an actual spelling error, not like the Panthers, the Buccaneers. That was a spelling error.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, I think they're going to win games they shouldn't win, and I don't like the direction the team is going. Derek Carr, this is probably his last year at quarterback, and Dennis Allen. I honestly think that they're going to start. I have him at 1-6. Right, 1-6 to start the season. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to fire Dennis Allen halfway through the season. I think he's going to be out. They're going to bring an interim head coach, whoever that is. I have no idea, but I think they could string together some wins after that. So that's kind of where I'm at with them, 6-11. What about you, Shane?
Yeah, I just don't think much of them. I mean, when you've got when you have a bad coaching and bad quarterback combo, I mean, that's just setting you up for a stinker of a season. And for them, it'll be perfect. It'll be great because they are going to move on from Carr, and then that gives them a shot at either Carson Beck or Shedeur Sanders, one of those guys, you know, whoever's going to pop up maybe. So it'll be perfect for finish for them. They bring in an offensive coach to kind of help groom that new quarterback. So it'll be perfect for them. I'm honestly was shocked that Allen kept his job in the offseason. That was definitely one of the surprises to me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I thought that was an indication of, like, we're going to ship it next year and try to get a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they did end up 9-8. They did barely missed out on winning the division. So I think that may have had something to do with them riding it out for this next season. But I think it's a bad move.
Yeah, I don't have much to say here on the Saints. I think they're going to have a horrible season. They have a tough schedule out the gate. You see, I have them at 0-6 to start. If they don't win that Panthers game, they're going to lose their first five for sure. So, I don't know. I'm off on the Saints. I don't like Derek Carr. I think Kamara's aging a little bit. He should still have a pretty good role. An elite-like workload. This may be his last year where he has an elite workload, but I just don't know that I trust the team enough to come up with wins. He's going to have to be like a PPR-only target for me, I'm guessing. Fading Olave at his price tag in the second round because I like Davante Adams more. I like Drake London more. And then Juwan Johnson's probably the only guy that I'm drafting on this team not in – redraft again. Like I always talk about how my brain's broken by best ball because that's really all I, you know, that's my fantasy football. The majority of my fantasy football portfolio is going to be best ball moving forward. So like he's someone I target in best ball, but I'm not going to draft him in redraft because I'll have tight end figured out by then and I won't need a second one.
Yeah. Yeah. Derek Carr should be undrafted. Alvin Kamara, to me, I mean, last year still at 75 receptions. So when you're talking about PPR, like he's still gonna produce numbers. Ended up as a running back 24 last year, being drafted as RB 17. You know, maybe if he falls a few spots, depending on how the draft unfolds, I'd be fine taking him, taking a chance on Alvin Kamara. But he's the only one. Chris Olave being drafted as wide receiver 12 in the second round, I think, is one of the worst second round picks that you can make. I don't understand the hype on Chris Olave. I get he's a talented guy and coming from the Ohio State University, Chris Olave, but
the hype is he's just like he's kind of a lock for 1,000. Let's see what he had last year. He had like what I would have thought as a bad year last year in terms of like.
Yeah, 1,123 yards.
He's a lock for 1,000. He had 138 targets, 1,123, 5 touchdowns. So obviously the touchdowns haven't really come for him yet, but if that bumps up to 8 ever in his career, then he's, you know, what was he, wide receiver?
Wide receiver 24?
24 last year, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, wide receiver 24.
No, 12, and 16. I have PPR 16.
PPR standard.
That's never mind. That was Scott Fish's scoring.
Okay.
Let's go to a more standard one.
Yeah, I see 24.
Why would that be? First downs?
I don't know. If fantasy points per game, he was getting about 14 and a half. Kind of a safe pick, I guess. I'm just not excited about taking him in the second round. I will be fading Chris Olave.
And if in the world where they get off to, let's say, 1-8, 2-9, something just atrocious, like it wouldn't surprise me if they're like, all right, well, let's get Spencer Rattler some reps here. And, you know, that can't be great for him either, for Chris Olave.
No.
I have him at PPR 16 on our dynasty, which I think our dynasty league has pretty standard scoring. On Sleeper, dude, he's PPR wide receiver 16. So,
okay. Not sure what the
and I don't
what like. Are you what are you looking at?
On Fantasy Pros.
Yeah, I don't know. Sleeper has him as a PPR, full PPR wide
receiver. We'll go with Sleeper.
Fought wide receiver 16, and at that finishing position in a year where it's like they weren't that sexy in any area. I don't think they were great. You would have thought Olave kind of had a down year. That's, you know, if there's any tick forward, then he's going to probably.
To me, he's got to catch touchdowns, and I'm not sure they're going to have very many scoring opportunities with the way I project their team to be. So that's kind of the reason why I'm fading him.
Yep.
All right. I think that's good. You guys good with the Saints? Move on to the Carolina Panthers. Shout out Carolina Dad.
Yep.
So, Coles, I want you to start with the Panthers.
His name's Elite Kennedy, first of all.
Elite Kennedy.
Before we go anywhere. Okay. What do you want me to start with them?
Yeah, I want you to start with the Panthers. You have them at 8-9. Shane and I both have them at 5-12. I know that you think they're going to take a step forward this year, so I just want to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, it looks like you and Shane are accurate again. yeah, I think they're going to take a big step forward. I think Bryce Young's finally got what seems like not a toxic coaching environment around him. He's got a guy that's done nothing but produce good quarterbacks with Canales. Bryce Young is a huge talent, and I think we're going to see it this year. So him at quarterback 27, that's someone I'm targeting basically in every best ball draft. I think Deontay Johnson is a huge step up from his wide receiver one last year in Adam Thielen. I think that Deontay is going to have an outstanding year as well. Wide receiver 42, I think he'll be in the top 25 probably. I don't know exactly where I have him on my rankings, but he's someone outside the top 40 to land in the top 25. He would probably be my pick. I can't imagine I would have anyone else before him as like someone that can land in the top 25 that's getting drafted that far out. Jonathan Brooks, I think, is a league winner. We'll see how slowly he starts with coming off that injury. But once he steps into an offense that has a ton of production that needs to be absorbed, I think he's going to absorb a lot of that. So, yeah, I just think it's a young team that's going to take a big step forward with a really good coach and in a horrible division and has a relatively soft schedule. You look at their first however many games this is, first 10 games before going to bye, you have won. I mean, in terms of like playoff teams this past year, you have zero, but these teams I project to all be in the playoffs. And then outside of that, Commanders, Saints, Broncos, Giants, these are all teams that are just not teams I have projecting high. So that's a pretty cake schedule to start the year. I think they can get some wins.
Shane, what about you?
Yeah, in full disclosure, like when I was going into these, predicting these games and what the Panthers schedule, I really thought I was going to come out with like 8 wins. I really thought that was.
Well, they gave you every opportunity to. Saints, Chargers, Raiders, Bengals, Bears, Falcons, sure, that's tough. But then Commanders, Broncos, Saints, Giants, like, I don't think you're high on any of those teams. So they, you had every opportunity to throw some.
When I was just going down, like, for me, and we'll get to when I get the AFC West, like, I think based off past experience, Jim Harbaugh is going to come in and make the Chargers take them to a whole different level. The coaching, the discrepancy of coaching from what he was taking over, what was there for the Chargers, and now Jim Harbaugh is like worth three wins in my mind. So I think they're much better. Just going game by game, it was really hard for me. Like, you know, I'm just picking out very specific ones, like at the Commanders, like, and in past, I think that could have been a win, but I believe that much in Jaden Daniels and that team and that coaching staff that they've assembled. Like,
I want to, but also, so going back to the Chargers, so you're saying there's a huge coaching improvement, which I agree with, but also, like, they lost all of their Keenan Allen, Eckler, like, they're a whole different team right there, and it's not like they reloaded with any talent right now, so they're still, like, I don't know that Harbaugh's going to step in and have a playoff team in front of them when they... They're not going to be a playoff team
I completely agree. They're not a playoff team.
Or just 500 ball. Like, right. I don't think they're going to be, I think they're going to be better than, you know, maybe 7-8 wins. But what I was saying about the playoff team, they're not going to be a playoff team until they get position players in there. It's not going to be Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. It's not going to be Josh Palmer, Ladd McConkey, and DJ Chark or QJ. So I just don't see them as they're going to be the type of team that can be beaten by anybody, I think. And sure, coaching will take them, will take them above some of these just Saints teams or teams that are completely on the aggressively down spiral. But I think the Panthers at least have pieces in place here. It's like, all right, we can win games. So they're just susceptible, I think, to losing a game like that.
I think the other component for me is, and I'll be willing to admit I was wrong, but I don't think Bryce Young is going to pan out and be that guy. I'm not a believer in him. The coaching will help, but I don't think he takes a huge step. So I think we'll do it when we get to the AFC West, but I feel like this is our next pod bet of the season. Who has more wins on the seasons, Chargers versus Panthers? So we might just bookmark this and when we get to the AFC West, and we'll see. But I feel like this is the next pod bet.
Pod bet is going to be one specific game.
No. Who on the year, who has more wins? Chargers or Panthers?
Oh, yeah. I haven't even looked at the Chargers schedule.
We'll bring it back up when we get there.
Interesting.
I think that'll be in play.
See what Vegas says, because you know I'm not going to give you too many.
I would have guessed Chargers is at 8.5.
What, did we even mention what the Panthers are at? What are the Panthers? Vegas line.
5.5.
For the Panthers?
Yeah. Okay. And the Chargers are
probably 7.5.
8.5.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So no, Shane. You're never gonna get me to make a stupid bet. I don't like.
But nice try, Shane. Nice try.
I need to try. There will I'll always be QCing with Vegas. So.
Bryce Young. I'm not drafting him this year. I don't think he makes the necessary steps this season to be fantasy relevant. However, I do think they figure it out in years to come. Jonathan Brooks is someone that we should be talking about. RB27 in round 8 is recovering from that ACL injury in college back in November. But when he gets fully healthy and in this integrating this offense, to me, he's going to be the guy. And I think he's much better than Chuba Hubbard. Miles Sanders is basically irrelevant at this point, sad to say. And Jonathan Brooks is someone I'd be willing to draft in round 8 as long as I have other running backs to play ahead of him.
Sad for you to say, Truck.
Yes, some sad to say. I'm speaking for myself.
Yes.
Because I was so high on him in years past. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Just
clarifying that.
Yes. So, yeah. Jonathan Brooks. Mike, do you want to say anything about Jonathan Brooks? I know you are in love. Is he a my guy this year for you?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know if I'd go that far just because of like the uncertainty of how quickly he's going to be getting a full workload. If he didn't have an injury and there was a full workload that was going to be not guaranteed from like, let's say if he didn't have to, if there wasn't like an injury that he has to overcome and then he has to win the full workload, then yes, for sure. But I wouldn't say he's a my guy. I think he's a league winner is probably the bucket I would put him in more, because I think legitimately he'll break out late and be like an RB1. So
yeah, we talked about it. Yes.
I'm always confident that I can make the playoffs. So I grab a guy like Brooks because I'll throw together a playoff team, and then to have an RB1 added to my roster late in the season, that's how I win championships, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the best ball stream live show yesterday, we talked about this, right? Like the play is you take Brooks in round 8, and then in round 9, you just go straight with a guy like Brian Robinson or Zach Moss.
Devin Singletary, Gus Edwards,
Raheem Mostert even, you know, somebody that's going to get you those first 4 weeks a high enough floor to get you by until he's ready. And the second thing is I think Sanders probably does not end up staying on this team. I think there's a good possibility he's gone. Unless they say, okay, we may need to put Brooks on the pup, which I haven't heard that, but if he shows anything and he looks like he's going to be okay to handle 10 carries a game, then I think Sanders could be off the team.
You think he'll be playing in Canada?
Not Canada.
Probably retire. Maybe go to the XFL.
Someplace.
Or the UFL, whatever it is now.
USFL. I don't think he'll retire. He's too young.
No.
All right. Well, what about Deontay Johnson? We talked about Deontay, wide receiver 42, round 8. Like, people are so quick to forget what Adam Thielen did at the beginning of the season last year with Bryce Young. I mean, the guy was absolutely on fire. I'm going to pull it up real quick just to reference accurate numbers.
Five top 20 wide receiver finishes in his first 6 games.
Yeah.
I mean, he was...
He had in a 4-game span, even 5-game span, 7 catches, 11 catches, 7 catches, 11 touchdowns in 4 or 5 of those games, over 100 yards in 3 of them. Like Bryce Young can support a wide receiver 1. He's shown that in the beginning of the season last year. So now with more time under his belt, I think Deontay Johnson could achieve those types of numbers, and I'm drafting him in round 8. Taking him as ADP, I think he outperforms that for sure.
Yeah. The camp news from yesterday was they're moving Deontay Johnson all over. They're not just putting him in one spot. They're going to be putting him in multiple spots, giving him some handoffs. I mean, so just doing whatever they can with him.
Yeah. And then Xavier Leggett, I mean, as wide receiver 58 in round 12, he's interesting to me. He came from South Carolina and kind of was – if you watch the receiver episode or the receiver series on Netflix, Deebo Samuel kind of took him under his wing and was really his support system through his last year in college. And Xavier Leggett could be a force to be reckoned with in the NFL in years to come. And he's someone that I'd be willing to take a shot on late in drafts, round 12, 13, 14, you know, depending on how he falls. But wide receiver 58 to me, grabbing him like that, it basically free taking a shot on someone like that. And then Jatavion Sanders, JT Sanders from Texas, right, Mike? How do you look in Texas?
How do I look at Texas?
How did JT Sanders look at Texas?
Oh, he's a great receiving tight end. He's extremely athletic. I think he's someone that like I said earlier, about there's so much production that needs to be absorbed. I think he's someone that can absorb that. But I like Tremble too. He's not on this list, but like Tremble's a guy that I would be hesitant on Sanders because I think Tremble is going to have a pretty solid role too in the offense. So just depends how quickly JT can. To me, he's one of those guys that, like, you talk about tight ends takes a little bit to kind of get used to the NFL. He's probably one of those guys that could fall into that bucket. I don't know that he's going to be a smash year one, but the offense is set up for him to be. So if he does come in and learn quickly, then he could be a guy that breaks out. I just think it's Deontay and Brooks that help Bryce Young kind of find himself in the NFL and absorb most of the production in this offense. So I'm firmly planting my flags on those two guys.
Like, for me, JT is like, if you're in dynasty or keeper leagues, that's where he comes in at, because like his, I don't remember the exact stats, but like his contested catch rate and his drop rate were like top of the top in last year in college at Texas. And then you're looking at probably Deontay Johnson may not be on the team last year. He's just in the last year of a deal. And Adam Thielen probably not back. So there could be a decent amount of targets available next year on this team.
Good point. Good point. All right. Well, I think that about does it for our NFC South breakdown. I think we all have the Falcons winning the division and the rest of the division being pretty sad. So,
yeah, I think I'm super excited about these divisional breakdowns. I think this is like the most underwhelming one for me because like I just don't have much excitement to pump into any of these teams. I think we know what we're getting from the Bucs. I think the Saints are a sad, sad team this year. It's a full fade for me, which I'm never going to talk too much about full fades. And then, you know, I like this Panthers taking a step forward and the Falcons being one of the best teams. So that's just a quick summary of how I feel about that conference as a whole, or division as a whole. I think in college football, but
I agree with everything you just said. I do think the Panthers take step forwards. I just don't know if their schedule or if their record is going to reflect it. And I think the Saints are going to be bad. And we know what we're getting with the Bucs. And sky's the limit for the Falcons. So mm-hmm. It's a good summary there. But thank you for watching the episode. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel. It really helps us out. Follow us on social media. Check out the Substack, thefantasyroadshow.substack. Don't forget to check out Rule One Proteins for all your supplemental needs. And most importantly, buckle up.